Okay, good evening. It's good to be here. Thank you, young ladies, young men, for your singing. I appreciated those songs. Sitting there in my seat and thinking about my youth, those things were not part of my youth. I'll just say it that way. So you have a great blessing that you have. And I was thinking also that I understand the you've heard some blessings and some teachings today. I wasn't able to be here. It was my plan to be here, but it seemed like it didn't work out. But I thought of the blessed are the ears that hear what you heard. There's many people in this world that would desire such things, and they don't have them. So I want to greet you tonight in Jesus' name. I thought of it's an ever-precious name. The name that is above every name. It says in Ephesians chapter 1, in whom we have redemption through his blood, the forgiveness of sins according to the riches of his grace. Are you thankful tonight for that grace? Are you thankful for such a Savior as this? Not only did he die that we might have eternal life, but the scripture also says that he has freely given us all things. He's given us all things. He supplies us with everything we need to one day cross that shore and be with him for eternity. By his grace and by his mercy, we can enter into his presence and live with him forever. I thought those are beautiful, some beautiful promises that we have in God's word. So last night we were here and we had a lot of questions asked to us, and seems like we have some more this evening, a few more. I'm going to write it on the board. It's also going to be the title tonight. If I remember my title. The brothers here gave me that thought about inheritance. What's our inheritance, or what's the inheritance that we are looking for, that we have? So I took that title, What is My Inheritance? I'd like this question to be very personal tonight, that each one of us in this room would take an inventory of our own spiritual condition, our own heart before God, and come before God and be very honest and transparent with him. I think sometimes we start believing this lie that Satan gives to God's people, and he tries to get us to believe these lies that God doesn't really see or understand my heart. He doesn't really understand me. He doesn't see what I think and what I really think. He doesn't know what I do when no one else is around. That's a lie from the devil. So it's this question I'd like for each of you to think on this evening as we go through the message here. What is my inheritance? So I believe that each one of us in this room know this word, inheritance. We know what that word is. We're very familiar with it. But for the sake of the message, I want to explain a little bit about an earthly inheritance, how it works. So you have a possessor, you have someone who possesses something of value, maybe a father or a mother. It could be property, money, other things. And they have children. They have children, a son or a daughter, and the one who possesses the property or the valuable thing, when they pass away, the one in line, their son or their daughter, receives the inheritance. Thought of me and my wife with four children, four boys. Me and my wife would pass away suddenly. All that we own and possess would transfer to my sons. They would become heirs of what we own at this point. They would inherit an inheritance. And they would receive it because they are sons. not because they're my brother Matt's sons or my brother Mark's sons. They're my sons, and they receive that inheritance. I want to keep this in mind as we go through the message, that you receive an inheritance because you're a son. This is something God established, I think, in the beginning. It seems in the Old Testament, you read a lot more about inheritance and inheriting possessions, sons inheriting lands, and those kind of things in the Old Testament. You see a lot more of that than you do the New Testament. The New Testament speaks mainly of a spiritual inheritance. So, in an earthly physical sense. That's how an inheritance works. One dies, the next one inherits or gains possession of the one that passed away. But in the spiritual realm, we don't receive the fullness of our inheritance until we die. When we die, our inheritance is given in the full. Our inheritance has already been established and is waiting for us to pass into it. I want to read Ephesians chapter 1, a few verses. Blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who hath blessed us with all spiritual blessings in heavenly places in Christ, according as he hath chosen us in him before the foundation of the world, that we should be holy and without blame before him in love, having predestinated us unto the adoption of children by Jesus Christ to himself, according to the good pleasure of his will, to the praise of the glory of his grace, wherein he hath made us accepted in the Beloved, in whom we have redemption through his blood, the forgiveness of sins, according to the riches of his grace, wherein he hath abounded toward us in all wisdom and prudence, having made known unto us the mystery of his will, according to his good pleasure, which he hath purposed in himself, that in the dispensation of the fullness of time he might gather together in one all things in Christ, both which are in heaven and which are on earth, even in him. In whom also we have obtained an inheritance, being predestinated according to the purpose of him who worketh all things after the counsel of his own will, that we should be to the praise of his glory who first trusted in Christ. In whom ye also trusted, after you heard the word of truth, the gospel of your salvation, in whom also after you have believed, you were sealed with that Holy Spirit of promise, which is the earnest of our inheritance until the redemption of the purchased possession unto the praise of his glory. In these verses, we can see that it's the Father who blesses his children. He chose us in him before the earth was ever created, before the foundation of the world. We can't wrap our minds around that, but that's the God we serve. He adopted us through Jesus Christ, that as his children, we have an inheritance. In verse 11 there, it says, we have obtained an inheritance. So we've got a taste of that inheritance as a child of God. But then in 14 it says it's the earnest of our inheritance. The Holy Spirit given to us is the down payment. That's what the word earnest means there. As an advance, so to speak, until we pass from this earth into the presence of God and receive the fullness of that inheritance. What another beautiful promise. But did you know that in the scripture it talks about two different inheritances? There's two types of inheritances. In a message last night, Brother David talked about the verses that us. I also want to read this evening is Matthew 25 to get these two inheritances. 31 through 46. We're familiar with these verses. When the Son of Man shall come in his glory, and all the holy angels with him, then shall he sit upon the throne of his glory, and before him shall be gathered all nations, and he shall separate them one from another, as a shepherd divideth his sheep from the goats. He shall set the sheep on his right hand, but the goats on the left. Then shall the king say unto them on his right hand, come, ye blessed of my Father, inherit the kingdom prepared for you from the foundation of the world. For I was hungry, and you gave me meat. I was thirsty, you gave me drink. I was a stranger, and you took me in. I'm going to skip a few of those verses and go down to verse 44 through the end of the chapter. Then shall they also answer him, saying, Lord, when saw we thee hungered and thirst, and a stranger, naked or sick, or in prison, did not minister unto thee? Then shall he answer them, saying, Verily I say unto you, inasmuch as you did it not the least of these, you did it not to me. And these shall go away into everlasting punishment, but the righteous into life eternal. That last verse there is the other inheritance that's shown in the scriptures. The sheep on the right hand inherit the kingdom prepared for the child of God. The goats on the left hand inherited everlasting fire and punishment prepared for the devil and his angels. I wanted to read these verses again just to get into our hearts and our minds this evening that there are two ways in this life. There's two inheritances. There's two destinies. There's two eternities. There's only two. That's another lie that Satan is busy trying to get the people of God to believe that there's another way. Don't buy into the lie of the devil that we can live a sinful, lustful, lust-filled life, fulfilling all our desires of the flesh and of the mind, and somehow receive an inheritance from God. That's not true. If you live your life the way, if you live your life this way, you will receive this inheritance, but it's not the inheritance that you're going to want. In John chapter 8, starting in verse 34, I want to establish why there's an inheritance. Remember, I said sons receive an inheritance. Starting verse 34 of John 8. Jesus answered them, Verily, verily, I say unto thee, whosoever committeth sin is the servant of sin, and the servant abideth not in the house forever, but the Son abideth forever. If the Son therefore shall make you free, ye shall be free indeed. I know that you are Abraham's seed, but you seek to kill me, because my word hath no place in you. Back up here a little bit. Jesus is rebuking the Pharisees and the Sadducees. They were challenging him on his authority. He said, I know you're Abraham's seed, but you seek to kill me because my word has no place in you. I speak that which I have seen with my father, and you do that which you have seen with your father. They answered and said unto him, Abraham is our father. Jesus said unto them, If you were Abraham's children, you would do the works of Abraham. But now you seek to kill me, a man that hath told you the truth, which I have heard of God. This did not Abraham. Ye do the deeds of your father. They said to him, Then said they to him, We be not born of fornication. We have one father, even God. Jesus said unto them, If God were your father, you would love me. For I proceeded forth and came from God. Neither came I of myself, but he sent me. Why do you not understand my speech? Because you cannot hear my word. You are of your father, the devil, and the lust of your father ye will do. He was a murderer from the beginning, and abode not in the truth, because there is no truth in him. When he speaketh a lie, he speaketh of his own, for he's a liar and the father of it. I want to stop there. So he told the Pharisees here that they were children of the devil. They were children of their father, the devil. That's because they were they're having the attributes. That's another thing about children. You'll find out as you have children, if you don't have children, that you see little bits of yourself, and even your attitude sometimes comes out in your children and reveals who you are. They become a part of a part of you becomes a part of them. Also in 1 John chapter 3, there's a few verses I don't read yet. Starting verse 7. Little children, let no man deceive you. He that doeth righteousness is righteous, even as he is righteous. He that committeth sin is of the devil, for the devil sinneth from the beginning. For this purpose the Son of God was manifested, that he might destroy the works of the devil. Whosoever is born of God does not commit sin, for his seed remaineth in him, and he cannot sin because he is born of God. In this is the children of God are manifest, and the children of the devil. Whosoever doeth not righteousness is not of God, neither is he that loveth not his brother. John writes here, he's pretty black and white. If you love God, you do his will. If you don't do his will and you do your own, or you're a child of the devil, it says. Whosoever does practice sin. I know we know these things, but I don't want to bring it to our attention again. Did you ever hear someone say to you, a little sin never hurt anyone? Anybody ever hear that? Is that true?
No.
It's a lie. Because here the scripture says, whosoever is born of God doth not sin, for his seed remaineth in him. That's God's spirit is in us, and we're his son, then we won't habitually walk in sin. But it seems that this idea in the church is becoming more and more prevalent, that I can dabble a little bit with sin and a little bit with the world and a little bit with the flesh, and somehow, in the end, it'll all be all right. I would warn you tonight, that's a lie from the father of lies. Or can I enjoy the pleasure of flesh and the world and in the end enjoy eternal life with God? I don't think so. I had some things I was going to write up on the board, and I'll take some ideas. I have wrote a few down here, but so we have Satan, and I said earlier that as a son, my sons have a little bit of my ways within them. I'm lost for words here. So yeah, attributes. So I thought of some attributes of Satan that he is. I'm gonna write a few down. He's a liar. He's a deceiver. He's a murderer. And he's full of hate. And attributes of a child of the devil, I wrote some of these down too. It's pride, drunkenness. Anybody have any other ones? While I'm writing here, I'm gonna run out of room pretty quick, but I thought of this one. You ever see someone that's just restless? They can't just rest. Anybody have another one? I got room for one more, maybe. I got some more lists to put up here.
Hypocrisy.
I don't know if I'm going to spell this right, but those are attributes of the devil, and then the people or the children of the devil. These are attributes that we don't want to find in our hearts or in our lives. I thought about that idea that you can play with a little bit of sin, you can play with a little bit of the world, and be okay. I thought of a picture of a mouse trap. Sin's that way. You can take a mouse trap and lay it out there, but you put something that's appealing to the mouse on the trap. They miss the danger and they go for the trap, and it ends up in their death. That's a little bit what sin is like. Satan's not going to show you the end of the sin. He's not going to show us. If you walk in drunkenness, for example, he's not going to show us the damage that causes and the heartache. He's not going to show you those things. He's going to entice you to do those things, but he'll cover up the results, or cover up the end results. But people begin to believe these things because there's no immediate punishment for sin or for disobedience. And somehow they get the idea, or we get the idea that God would just look the other way and let it go. But as I said, we have an inheritance for being a child of the devil. One who determines to walk in disobedience to God and His Word, for God is sovereign. God will not let things slip. He is in absolute control and power, and He has established the law concerning life. And all we are called to do as God's people is walk in it, hearken unto it, and if we refuse, there's that inheritance that will be received. In Galatians 5, we read the sins of the flesh. And verse 21 says, of which I tell you before, and I've also told you in time past, that they which do such things shall not inherit the kingdom of God. Also in Ephesians 5, 3 through 7, there's a couple verses there. Oh, wrong chapter, that's why. 5, not 3. But fornication, all uncleanness, and covetous, let it not be named, once named among you as becometh saints, neither filthiness, nor foolish talking, nor jesting, but which are not convenient, but rather giving of thanks. For this you know, that no whoremonger, nor unclean person, nor covetous man, who is an idolater, hath any inheritance in the kingdom of Christ and of God. Let no man deceive you with vain words, for because of these things cometh the wrath of God upon the children of disobedience. Be not ye therefore partakers with them. As I thought about this, the inheritance is this, hell. The inheritance for the child of the devil is hell, with the devil and his angels. I thought about some attributes of hell that I wrote down. The lake of fire. There will be gnashing of teeth. It's eternal punishment. There's no light. There's no hope. Anybody think of any others? It's eternal death.
Torment.
Which? Yeah, that's right. Like lover of the world. Torment. And it's torment that we don't understand. Or we can't fathom. Oh, I have one more. There's no water there. I don't think we can grasp or understand those things. We read them in the scriptures, but I don't know if we can grasp it. And an eternal hell, the agonies of an eternal hell. I could not even begin to describe to you the horrors and the suffering. But the Bible does give us a glimpse. Jesus talks about it. Some descriptions. But I don't think our earthly mind can comprehend a place of such eternal torment and fire and smoke and brimstone or sulfur. I thought of this a few years ago. Brother Matt's brother Mark back there came out to our camp, and he brought a hunk of brimstone from over there by Sodom and Gomorrah. And we had a trailer out there, and he put it on a pan and he lit it. And when you light it, it just kind of smolders. Then he gave everybody an opportunity to go in there and smell that. And it was a burning that went up your nose, and it just lingered there. Just one little sniff of that, there's a burning went up your nose into your like the back of your inside your head, and it just burns. It's bitter. I don't know if I can describe it. But hell has been prepared for the devil and his angels. But it'll also be the destination of all those who reject God and His Son Jesus Christ, who determine to go their own way, and who determined to go their own way. And they say in their with their mouth, we will not have this man rule over us. But maybe you're here tonight, you would never say that with your mouth. You would never say that, I don't want Jesus to rule over me. But what about in your heart? We heard last night also about being lukewarm. Where do you think the lukewarm Christian will be in eternity? What inheritance will the lukewarm one have? I think we know. Revelation 21:8 talks about those that go and descend into hell as one of the attributes is the unbelieving. Is not lukewarmness unbelieving? I think it is. So it's a very serious inheritance. That's one aspect of that of inheritance. I want to switch gears to the other inheritance that we read about there in Matthew 25, verse 34. Says, Jesus said, "Come, ye blessed of my Father, inherit the kingdom prepared for you from the foundation of the world." I want to look into this inheritance tonight also. This is an inheritance of a great blessing, an eternal great joy. But before we go there, who is this inheritance for? Who's this for? It's for the child of God, of course. If you've not been born again by Spirit or been adopted by Him, this is not an inheritance for you. This is for God's children. This is not for those who profess, "Lord, Lord." Jesus said in Matthew 7, "Not everyone that saith to me, 'Lord, Lord,' shall enter the kingdom of heaven, but he that doeth the will of my Father which is in heaven." When we are born again, we begin to have the characteristics of a new father. The old things pass away. Behold, all things become new. Back to 1 John chapter 3, I read earlier. I don't think I'm going to read that again, but we read that he that doeth righteousness is righteous, even as he or the Lord or God is righteous. Whoever is born of God doth not commit sin, for his seed remaineth in him. Whoever doeth not righteousness is not of God. John is just breaks it down real simple in two kingdoms, two ways. I know man in this day and age, they're trying to make many ways to God, but there's only two. There's only one way to the Father, but there's only two ways in life. As a child of God, we strive for holiness, but we are no longer satisfied with sin. Sin doesn't satisfy us. But we strive to please God in our hearts and lives. This is speaking of our practice of life, our manner of life, our pattern. Doeth and committeth here, those two words, doeth and committeth, whether in sin or in righteousness, means an ongoing practice. It's an ongoing lifestyle. I thought of this. Why do we say that brother so-and-so is a carpenter? Or brother so-and-so is a mason or a trimmer? Or that sister so-and-so is a great homemaker? Or she's a seamstress? Or she's a good cook? It's because it's their occupation. It's what they do. By what they do, they are identified. So it is in the spiritual realm. The child of God does not practice sin if he desires an inheritance from the Father. There'd be many things that could be said tonight about inheritance, this inheritance from the Father. I won't cover them all. But I just want to look at some of these things as we go through this message here yet and what the Lord brought to my heart. So when we're born again, as I said earlier, we inherit some given characteristics from our Father in heaven. So here we have God. And I know the attributes of God would fill the board. So I'm just going to write a few down. That I thought of. If you notice, they're usually opposite of the devil. What God is and what the devil is, what Satan is typically just the opposite. If we think of Christ and his life as he walked this earth, he told his disciples, "You've seen me, you've seen the Father." So as we read in the scriptures about the life of Christ, and we see how he walked, how he dealt with people, his attitude. That's the heart of God. If we've been adopted by the Father, we begin to have these same traits come out of our lives. To the glory of the Father, the scripture says. God gets the glory because we can't produce these things on our own strength. In Colossians 1, 9 through 14, "For this cause we also, since the day we heard it, do not cease to pray for you and to desire that you might be filled with the knowledge of his will and all wisdom and spiritual understanding, that ye might walk worthy of the Lord unto all pleasing, being fruitful in every good work, and increasing in the knowledge of God, strengthened with all might, according to his glorious power, unto all patience and longsuffering with joyfulness, giving thanks unto the Father, which hath made us meet to be partakers of the inheritance of the saints in the light, who hath delivered us from the power of darkness, and hath translated us into the kingdom of his dear Son, in whom we have redemption through his blood, even the forgiveness of sins." Verse 12 there says, "The Father who made us meet." That means he enables us. He qualifies us to be a partaker or one who shares in the inheritance of the saints in the light. If you sit and meditate on that, that's more than you can comprehend. That God in his mercy would qualify us, enable us and qualify us, because we were once in this kingdom. If you're a child of God tonight, you were once in this kingdom. But here the scripture says he's delivered you from there and translated you over here. That's not anything that we can do of our own strength. We submit our will to the Lord and we get translated. God does that. God adopts us, the scripture says. Another set of verses in Romans 8. It seems like I'm reading a lot of scriptures tonight, but I kept finding these verses today. 12 through 17. "Therefore, brethren, we are debtors, not to the flesh, to live after the flesh. For if you live after the flesh, ye shall die." If you live after the flesh, you have this eternal death. But if you live after you shall die. But if you live through the Spirit, if you through the Spirit do mortify the deeds of the body, ye shall live. For as many are led by the Spirit of God, they are the sons of God. For ye have not received the spirit of bondage again to fear, but ye have received the spirit of adoption, whereby we cry, Abba, Father. The Spirit itself beareth witness with our spirit that we are the children of God. And if children, then heirs of God, and joint heirs with Christ, if so be that you suffer with him, that we may also be also glorified together. That word heir, we talked about that earlier, what an heir is. One who receives an inheritance from a father. Here in verse 17, it says joint heir. That means a sharer with. So we're a joint heir with Christ. We as God's children share in every spiritual blessing that Christ offers, that he has, that he's received from the Father. We can share in the same. That doesn't seem, to the natural mind, that doesn't seem possible. How can this God give us the same blessing and the same promise that he gave Jesus Christ? But here the scripture says that we become joint heirs with Christ. We as God's children share in every spiritual blessing of Christ. Jesus said, "All are mine and all are yours." I can't wrap my mind around such a promise. And as we read in Ephesians 1, in the beginning here, the message that God has blessed us with all spiritual blessings in Christ, in heavenly places in Christ, to the praise of the glory of His grace, wherein He, God, has made us accepted in the Beloved, or in Jesus Christ. An inheritance, if we remember, is something possessed by a father given to his child. Our inheritance that we have been speaking of here is not only the things that we enjoy now, peace, joy, love in this life, forgiveness of our sins, love for our brothers, having a godly heritage for our children, that we can raise our children in the kingdom of God and teach them God's ways. Those are spiritual blessings. And the last one I wrote is the Church of Jesus Christ is also a part of this inheritance. The church is an inheritance that we must appreciate more and more as we go through this the last days that we're living in. The church should become more precious to us, because without it, we're going to flounder around in life. Church is a challenge, but it's a blessing. We look to the blessings. But this inheritance, we also speak of the promise of heaven and living with the Lord Jesus for eternity. In John 14, Jesus told his disciples that they weren't to let not your heart be troubled. Ye believe in me, in God, believe also in me. In my Father's house are many mansions. If it were not so, I would have told you, I go to prepare a place for you. And if I go and prepare a place for you, I will come again and receive you unto myself, that where I am, there you may be also. And whether I go, you know, and the way you know. About 2 weeks before my father-in-law passed away, I was able to share these verses with him as he laid in his hospital bed. And it excited him. As I told him these verses, I quoted these verses to him, and he held onto my hand, and he looked at me, and he said, yeah. It excited him. And I believe with all my heart, we believe that that's where he went. He went to be with the Lord Jesus. So the last part of this inheritance is heaven. There again, we get a little glimpses in the scriptures, but scripture says that we can't comprehend what God has prepared for those who love Him. So heaven is eternal. It's full of light. There's no sin. There's no sorrow. We're in the presence of God. Is there any more that anybody would have to add? No pain. There'd be a whole list of them. That's the inheritance of the child of God. I thought about this, so it's going to be a bit of reading, but I thought I wanted to read this. It's Revelation chapter 21 through 22, verse 5. If you want to open your Bibles and read along, this is the glimpse we get of heaven. This is the glimpse we get of our inheritance. And I saw a new heaven and a new earth, for the first heaven and the first earth were passed away, and there were no more sea. And I, John, saw the holy city, New Jerusalem, coming down from God out of heaven, prepared as a bride adorned for her husband. And I heard a great voice out of heaven saying, behold, the tabernacle of God is with men, and He will dwell with them, and they shall be His people, and God Himself shall be with them and be their God. And God shall wipe away all tears from their eyes, and there shall be no more death, neither sorrow nor crying, neither shall be any more pain, for all the former things are passed away. And he that sat upon the throne said, behold, I make all things new. And he said unto me, write, for these words are true and faithful. And he said unto me, it is done. I am Alpha and Omega, the beginning and the end. I'll give unto him that is athirst of the fountain of the water of life freely. He that overcometh shall inherit all things. I will be his God, and he shall be my son. There's our inheritance. But the fearful and the unbelieving, and the abominable, the murderers and the whoremongers and the sorcerers and the idolaters and all liars shall have their part in the lake which burneth with fire and brimstone, which is the second death. And there came unto me one of the seven angels which had the seven vials full of seven last plagues, and talked with me, saying, Come hither, and I will show thee the bride, the Lamb's wife. And he carried me away in the spirit in a great and high mountain, and showed me that great city, the holy Jerusalem, descending out of heaven from God, having the glory of God, and her light was like unto the stone most precious, even like a jasper stone, clear as crystal, and had a great and had a wall great and high, and had 12 gates, and at the 12 gates 12 angels, and names written thereon, which are the 12 names of the 12 tribes of the children of Israel. On the east 3 gates, on the north 3 gates, on the south 3 gates, and the west 3 gates. And the wall of the city had 12 foundations, and in them the names of the 12 apostles of the Lamb. And he that talked with me had a golden reed to measure the city, and the gates thereof, and the wall thereof. The city lieth four square, and the length is as large as the breadth. And he measured the city with the reed 12,000 furlongs. The length and the breadth and the height of it are equal. If I remember right, that 12,000 furlongs is 1,500 miles, or approximately. And he measured the wall thereof, and 144 cubits according to the measure of a man, that is, of an angel. And the building of the wall was jasper, and the city was pure gold, like unto clear glass. And the foundations of the wall of the city were garnished with all manner of precious stones. The first foundation was jasper, the second sapphire, the third chalcedony, the fourth an emerald, the fifth sardonyx, the sixth sardis, the seventh chrysolite, the eighth beryl, the ninth topaz, the tenth cypress. I'm not pronouncing these names right, I know I'm not, but the 11th, jacinth, the 12th, and amethyst. And the 12 gates were 12 pearls. Every several gate was one of one pearl, and the street of the city was pure gold, as it were transparent glass. And I saw no temple therein, for the Lord God Almighty and the Lamb are the temple of it. And the city had no need of the sun, neither of the moon, to shine in it, for the glory of God did lighten it, and the Lamb is the light thereof. And the nations of them which are saved shall walk in the light of it, and the kings of the earth do bring their glory and honor into it, and the gates of it shall not be shut at all by day, for there shall be no night there. And they shall bring the glory and honor of the nations into it, and there shall be no, and there shall in no wise enter into anything that defileth, neither whatsoever worketh an abomination or maketh a lie, but they which are written in the Lamb's book of life. And he showed me a pure river of water of life, clear as crystal, proceeding out of the throne of God and out of the Lamb. In the midst of the street of it, on either side of the river, was there the tree of life, which bare 12 manner of fruits and yielded her fruit every month, and the leaves of the tree were the healing of the nations. And there shall be no more curse, but the throne of God and the Lamb shall be in it, and his servants shall serve him, and they shall see his face, and his name shall be in their foreheads. And there shall be no night there, and they need no candle, neither light of the sun, for the Lord God giveth light, and they shall reign forever and ever. I want to inherit that city. And we read those words, but I don't know if our minds can comprehend the glory of it, the glory of such a place. Interesting there, the tree of life. The tree of life started in the Garden of Eden. God gave Adam and Eve freedom to the tree of life. But he, when they sinned, he cast them out because he didn't want them partaking of that tree of life in a fallen state. But here's this tree of life again offered for the healing of the nations, it says. That tree of life, I think, is Jesus Christ. I don't know if it's a literal tree here that he's speaking of, but it seems that it would be. But the tree of life is Jesus Christ. We have life eternal. Again, as I said, we don't have the vocabulary to describe heaven in its fullness. But God has given us a glimpse into it, and it should create in us a great homesickness and a longing to go be there. In 1 Corinthians 2, chapter 2, verse 9 and 10, it says that eye hath not seen, nor ear heard, neither has entered in the heart of man the thing which God hath prepared for them that love him. But God has revealed them to us by his Spirit. Through spiritual eyes and a heart renewed by God, we can get a glimpse of these heavenly things. So coming back to my original question, what will be my inheritance? As I said, it's my heart's desire and vision for my life and my family, an inheritance with God in Christ in heaven eternally. But I ask you all, what's yours? What's your inheritance? What will be your inheritance? To obtain that heavenly inheritance is going to take a continual surrender of our wills and a crucifying of our flesh to the Lordship of Jesus Christ. May we continue to encourage one another on this walk of faith that we are walking on, to continue to press towards the mark of the high calling of God in Christ Jesus. Lukewarmness will not make it. It's going to take a life sold out to God, and one that doesn't count our lives dear unto us, unto ourselves. That means we're willing to lay it out, lay it down, whatever it may be. When we submit ourselves to God and obey his word and obey his commandments, as a child obeys his own, like my children obey me, we can and do experience a foretaste of heaven in our lives. When you walk in this kingdom, I walked in that kingdom for almost 30 years, and I know it. I know what it's like. And I want to encourage you as youth, as young people, with your life in front of you, that there's nothing in this kingdom that's worth suffering for. There's nothing in that kingdom that Satan tries to sell you that's worth going to hell for. Not one thing. And he'll try. He'll try you. He'll try you in your life. He'll try to get you convinced that this thing is worth it. But I'm here to testify it is not worth it. It's God's will for us to experience the fullness of his blessing, that we could be filled with all the fullness of God. Walking with and obeying God doesn't mean that we don't have trials and troubles in our life, but we'll be rather better equipped to be able to go through them and to handle those trials and troubles. In this kingdom, when there's troubles and trials, their world falls apart. In this kingdom, when there's trials and troubles, we lean on God, and he supplies our every need to be able to go through the trial and to grow in those and to grow in that. A few more verses here in closing. In 1 Peter chapter 1, starting in verse 3, "Blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, which according to his abundant mercy hath begotten us again unto a lively hope by the resurrection of Jesus Christ from the dead, to an inheritance incorruptible, undefiled, that fadeth not away, reserved in heaven for you, who are kept by the power of God through faith unto salvation, ready to be revealed in the last time. Wherein ye greatly rejoice, though now for a season, if need be, you are in heaviness through manifold temptations. That the trial of your faith, being much more precious than that gold that perishes, though it be tried with fire, might be found unto praise and honor and glory at the appearing of Jesus Christ, whom having not seen ye love, and whom though now you see him not, yet believing, you rejoice with joy unspeakable and full of glory, receiving the end of your faith, even the salvation of your souls." This inheritance, this great inheritance that we have available, Scripture says here that we're kept by the power of God through faith unto salvation, that it'll be revealed in the last time. This inheritance is incorruptible. It's undefiled. Men may scoff at, men may ridicule, men may do these things, but it doesn't take away the glory of it. Because God is sovereign. God is over all. So seeing we have such a great inheritance, let us press into this kingdom now. Scripture says there's no better time than today. The scripture says now is the accepted time. And we have the promise of all the power of God behind us to continue to walk in His Word, keep His Word, and to live a victorious Christian life. We have the whole power of God available to us. Jesus Christ said He'll be with us and He'll sustain us. We ask in His name, He gives. And when I'm talking about that, I'm talking about to have victory in our lives. So again, I ask this question, what will be my inheritance? Ask yourself this and answer honestly in your heart. What do I desire? Where do I want to spend eternity? I don't think I need to expound any more on that to answer those questions. We each need to answer them in our heart because we all know the two ways. We all know, we're all well acquainted with heaven and hell, Satan, God, and all these things that I shared with you tonight that are not new things. So the answer that that you find in your heart, you need to answer that question in your heart. But I know what the answer is. It is and it always will be Jesus Christ. God bless each one of you.